Hey, morning. Excuse the nerves. I was saying it in the earlier service as well. It's been nice this week. I've been around the Kirkgate Cafe quite a lot and around the church quite a bit. And everyone's coming up to me saying, I'll see you on Sunday. I'm excited for Sunday. And it did add to my nerves. It didn't make things easier. But it's been nice as well. It's an element of excitement. It really felt like a homecoming of some sorts. And it's nice. It's nice to be home. So, yeah. I actually thought I was going to be fine for this because I've done it earlier, but I'm not at all. It's good to see so many familiar faces. Yeah, so this morning we're going to continue our series on how the gospel speaks to different people in different ways. And we're specifically looking at different encounters that Jesus had with people and how he met their needs. And today we'll be reading from John chapter 21. Don't stress about getting out just now. I'll read it in a minute. I'll give you background first. It was after Peter denied Jesus three times, just before Jesus was crucified. And after the resurrection, Jesus then seeks out Peter. So as I said, the denial happens before the crucifixion and just after the Last Supper, where he also said that he was willing to lay his life down for Jesus. Another thing was that Peter was Jesus' close friend and trusted disciple. So the denial couldn't be taken lightly. And I was thinking about it from the human side of things. We all know that Jesus was fully God, but also fully human. So I was trying to think of the natural human response from Jesus. And I think it would have been hurt and disappointment, especially because it was someone he cared about that denied him. And from Peter's side of things, he would have known that he'd let Jesus down. And while I'd seen him a couple of times since the resurrection, there's no doubt that it would have been niggling away at him, especially after the original promise to lay his life down for Jesus. So I put myself into Peter's shoes and thinking, if it was me, I probably wouldn't know how to react. He must have been lost and insecure, wondering what Jesus would say to him. It doesn't specifically say in the passage how he was feeling, but I'm pretty sure that he saw it as a big deal too. So we're going to read from John 21, verses 15 to 19. And a bit of context is that Peter went back to his work as a fisherman and was out in the boat when Jesus appeared, performing another miracle, catching too many fish to carry after a night of catching none, which brought back memories from before where Jesus did a similar miracle of catching the fish, where he had called Peter to fish for men just after that. So I'm reading from the ESV translation, but you can follow along. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, I don't know about you, in hearing that passage, but it's not the conversation I would expect to have after what happened. They don't talk about the denial or how either of them felt because of it. But what Jesus does do is he makes a clear parallel between the two situations. Peter denied Jesus three times. So Jesus asks three times, do you love me? In both conversations, the denial and the reinstatement happened over the fire. And as I mentioned before, Jesus mirrored his original calling of Peter on the boat by performing the same miracle. I think this was very intentional on Jesus' part. It would have brought back memories for Peter, and it certainly wouldn't have got past them. So his emotions must have been all over the place. Peter was desperately in need of Jesus' love and reassurance. He knows they'd let him down, that he'd broken his own promise, and he did something that he swore he wouldn't do. Before the denial, Jesus predicted it, and Peter said, no way. He must have doubted himself and his position as Jesus' disciple. He needed to be reinstated after what he'd done. But I think personally, for Peter, he needed reassurance from Jesus that he was forgiven. He would have questioned his own worth and wondered what Jesus thought of him. He needed to know that Jesus still loved and accepted him. So I was trying to relate to this passage from my standpoint. And the first thing that came to my head was my relationship with my dad. I've always been super tight with my dad. And when I was growing up, we did practically everything together. He coached my football and my rugby teams for years. I played five-a-side with his friends when I was very young. We ran together. We went to concerts together and still do. We did almost everything together. And we didn't argue much either. But obviously, I messed up occasionally. There was a few arguments. I can count them on one hand, but there was a couple. A couple of times I stepped out of line as a kid. My dad's punishment wasn't the traditional take up stuff away from me, take away my PlayStation, or to ground me. But he knew because of our relationship that my punishment was just knowing that he was disappointed or that he was upset. It killed me. It honestly did. It was enough to make sure that it never happened again. And as soon as it happened, I was desperate to make up. I never argued back. I just wanted things to be back to normal. I think it must have been similar for Peter. They were best friends. For 3 years during Jesus' ministry, they did everything together. Peter was one of the first disciples Jesus called. He'd been there for his teachings and his miracles. Peter walked on water. And he was on top of the mountain when Moses and Elijah appeared alongside Jesus. They'd been through a lot together. So Peter probably would have felt the same sort of guilt I felt when I let my dad down. Because he'd let his friend down massively. And he must have needed Jesus' love more than ever. So I was thinking, how can we relate to this as a church? How can we relate to desperately needing love? Just look around at the world. Love surrounds us. Everyone seeks love. And for me, music is the best example. I was looking through my Spotify the other day there on my phone, my iPod, and it's infamous with its variety. I've got a very varied music taste. But when I looked through it the other day, the theme of love popped up constantly. I looked in at Dean Martin, and it was That's Amore. Or Elvis singing All Shook Up and Burning Love. And the Beatles, who seem to think all you need is love. And then my personal favourite song is Madness. It Must Be Love. And the lyrics are nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. Everything's about love. And finding that love to make us happy. And I recognise that these songs are talking about romantic love. But I don't think that's the root of it. I think as humans, we're designed to seek love unconditional love. The kind of consistent love that never changes. That no matter what we do or what happens, the love stays the same. And I think we all want that. So on that level, we can relate to Peter. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is unconditional. It's eternal, everlasting. And Peter is beginning to understand this through knowing Jesus. He's the first one out of the disciples who knows to know who Jesus is and believe in him as a Messiah. He's experienced that unconditional love. And here, in being reinstated, he experiences both this love and forgiveness firsthand. And Jesus doesn't ask him these questions just to reinstate him. He asks him as a friend. Something to note is that he doesn't call him Peter or Cephas, the name he'd given him. He calls him Simon, son of John. He isn't asking the apostle that he had appointed. He's asking the man. He's speaking straight to the heart of Peter. He wants to know the answer from Simon, his friend. And he doesn't settle for quick, superficial answers. He has a way of getting to the heart of the matter. So when I mess up, I know that when speaking to Jesus, he's not speaking to the community outreach coordinator for Gracemount Church. He's speaking to Brad, his friend. He wants to know that I love him because he loves me. Now, I think Peter's response to the question is actually really great. It's not a generic, yeah, of course, or just, yes, I love you. His response was, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I actually think that's pretty bold. He doesn't just use his words here. He actually invites Jesus to look into his heart. He knows who Jesus is. The relationship is authentic. And Peter is authentic in his response, allowing Jesus access into the deepest part of him. And due to the time they'd spent together, he knows that it's safe to invite Jesus into this place. He trusts Jesus, and he knows that he loves him. And Jesus doesn't hold on to what happened either, or what Peter did. He does want to know that Peter loves him, and Peter does need reinstated. His denial can't be ignored, but it can be forgiven. I think in this conversation, Jesus wanted to make sure that it was the same Peter they had spent all that time with, the one he trusted, and the one he loves. He wants to know that it's genuine. And once Jesus knows that, he does reinstate him as the apostle. And he gives him his calling to God's people. And he even tells him about what kind of death he was to glorify God with. Peter was back through Jesus' love and forgiveness. And when I was reading this passage for the first time, I thought it was a perfect picture of redemption. It shows that no one is beyond God's grace and that it's never too late to turn to Jesus and to feel his love and forgiveness. Jesus made it a priority to reinstate Peter. Not because he needed Peter to be a leader in the early church or to be the apostle he appointed, but because he loved them. I don't know where you're at today. I know that these are guest services. So you might just be coming here to check things out and to see what Jesus is about. This is who Jesus is. The one whose love and forgiveness is greater than any mistake we can ever make. The one who gives that kind of unconditional love that we're all seeking. The one who went to the cross to die for everything we've ever done and will do because of how much he loves us. That's who Jesus is. Or maybe you're coming from the position of Peter, like we all are at different points in our life, where you feel like you've messed up again or you've let Jesus down. Maybe you feel like you need Jesus' love and forgiveness today. Well, the message for you is that the time is now. Jesus actively pursued Peter after his denial. And he restored the relationship they had because of his love for Peter. His love for you is the same. His love for me is the same. And he's actively seeking you because of that love. Let's pray. God, thank you, you're a God of forgiveness. Thank you that you're a God of love. And thank you for showing us, or giving us this picture of redemption, this perfect picture. That we can see that nothing is beyond your love. That we can always turn to you and feel your perfect love and forgiveness. And I pray for anyone here who needs to hear that today. And I pray that they turn around and see that you're pursuing them. And that you actively want them to feel your love and forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And for actively pursuing all of us. In your name, amen.